Welcome to the Connections Podcast, a podcast devoted to how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our beloved community. I'm Jack Brennan, Connections at UUSM. Our guest today is Juliana Rees. Juliana was born in 1974 and is a proud Gen Xer. She and her husband have two kids, Allie, who is 19, and Zachary is 16. Juliana was born and raised in Belmont, in the same house where her mom still lives and her daughter Allie lives. Juliana has been a special education teacher for nearly 25 years. She had a sister, Elizabeth, called Bethy, who was 3 years older than her. Bethy had cerebral palsy and died when she was 13, when Juliana was only 9 years old. Bethy inspired Juliana to become a special education teacher. She has a love-hate relationship with her job. She loves her students and staff, but she's fed up with the bureaucracy around it. She suspects other educators will nod their heads to that. Juliana describes herself as an extroverted introvert, or maybe an introverted extrovert. She loves being around people right up until the point where she doesn't. There seems to be no rhyme or reason as to when she loves it and when she doesn't. She has social anxiety, so activities in church and elsewhere are often challenging for her. Her favorite colors are green and purple and orange and deep reds and blues. Juliana, welcome to the Connections Podcast.
Thank you.
I was intrigued by your favorite colors. Do you like different colors for different things, or do you just really love all the colors?
I love lots of colors. The Mazda Soul Red is my very favorite red color. So you see Mazdas driving around with that red, that's my very favorite. Green and purple have always been top of the list for me. One kitchen that I had was a bright orange and I just loved it. It was like a creamsicle kind of orange. Mm-hmm. And so I think maybe it is situational. Like, you know, this was an orange in a house full of white walls. And so it's just this beautiful pop. It's situational, but jewel tones maybe are what I go more towards most.
I like jewel tones too, especially for clothing. They're good for your skin. They make you look better.
That's right.
Tell me about your family, whatever that word means to you.
Family, when I think of that word to me, it is Josh and myself and the two kids and my mom. My dad passed away in 2020. He would have been on that list as well. But right now, that's like the five of us. When I hear family, that's what I think of. And then if I think a little beyond, it would be like Josh's side of the family, the in-laws. And then beyond that, I would probably have, if I visualize like circles within circles within circles, would be more like friends, close friends.
You bet. Tell me more about that inside circle, Allie, Josh, and Zachary.
And my mom, too.
And your mom. Like,
what can I tell you about them? My mom lives in the same house that she has, as you read in the bio. She and I have had a super close relationship the last few years, which I think is why I consider her part of that inner circle family now.
You bet.
We're beyond mother-daughter, we're now friends, which is, and I can tell her anything. Well, maybe not anything, but mostly everything. Yeah, and then Allie and I are like that too. I'm really hopeful that she tells me everything that she needs to. I mean, maybe some things she'll keep to herself, but like the really important stuff I want to know that she's coming to me for, and I hope that I am supportive of her.
She's living with her grandmother now?
Yeah, she lives with my mom. Yeah, and it was a win-win-win situation. My dad had just died, my mom was alone, Allie turned 18. It was good to kind of get her out of the house because, you know, she and Zachary and Josh fight a lot.
Of course.
So it gives her like a half step toward freedom. She still has a grown-up there with her.
Sure.
And it gives my mom someone to be around. My mom does not physically need help right now, but someday she will. And it makes me feel good to know that Allie is there just in case.
I agree. When I heard about this, that living situation, I thought, what a perfect segue for a 19-year-old, you know, to go between the more restrictive home and the all out on your own. What a perfect spot to be in.
Yes.
Tell me more about Zachary.
Zachary's 16. Mary's 16. He knows everything. So
oh, good, good, good.
So that's so helpful. I don't need to know anything.
No, and you don't. I'm sure he lets you know.
There was some trials, but he's doing fabulously now.
Good, good.
He's in a school that's really supportive for him. In fact, now he has a direction He went on a field. He's been kind of interested in cooking. He went on a field trip with his school to CCSF, the community college in San Francisco, and they have a culinary academy. And he was texting me while he was there, and he's told us all about the culinary academy. And I said, oh, maybe this is someplace you'd like to go. And he said, I'm considering it. And I went, oh my God, in the middle of my classroom, I'm like almost crying because he finally has a direction. And I just...
That is
it's
cool.
It's good.
That's very cool. And Josh?
Josh, we've been married for, what year is it? 23. We'll be married for 23 years.
Wow.
We met at San Jose State University. We were both living in the dorms.
Okay. Was it love at first sight?
No.
No?
Not really. I don't know. Well, maybe for him, but for me, it kind of grew, I suppose.
Yeah. Sure. You've been a teacher a really long time. Has it always been in special education?
It has, yes. I went to Carmont High School, for the locals that may know that. I was a volunteer, a student volunteer in that class, the special ed class there on campus. Oh. I did that because of my sister. Yep. Students like that were my normal. I was very comfortable working in a situation like that. Working with them, then I decided that would be my career path. After I got my credential, that teacher retired. And so I got hired to take over that class.
Wow.
Yeah, so it worked out perfectly.
Wow. Have you been at that same school the whole time?
I was there for 11 years, and then I moved to a small program in San Bruno. It's a school that's just for special needs. I worked there for a while, and then I did, we called it planning block, where I would go to 5 different classrooms each day to relieve that teacher for a 45-minute period. And so I did a whole bunch of different disability levels. And funnily enough, my favorite was middle school with the kids with behavior disorders. That was my favorite, because middle school kids are just starting to understand like humor and...
Sarcasm.
Sarcasm, that's the word I was looking for. Yes, I have a pretty sarcastic personality, and so
yeah,
it was fun.
Me too.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't think I can do it for all day every day, mm-hmm. but coming in for that 1 hour, that was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'll get to the challenges in a minute, but can you tell me what you love about teaching kids with different kinds of disabilities? Because there's such a range when you're talking about special education. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the good part of this.
Right, right. So aside from my little stint out into my 2 years with the kids in middle school,
right.
I've always worked with the kids that are very involved, harmfully disabled. And I've always worked in the high school or transition. So transition is ages 20 to 22. Mm-hmm. But now I'm with the little guys, like second graders. Whichever level with them, what keeps me going is the little tiny successes they have.
Right.
I have a student that all my kids are maybe functioning like around the 6-month level, nonverbal, but he has a sign for hungry. He brings his hand to his mouth. And no one had really picked up on this. And then we're sitting there watching him, and he's doing this. We're like, what does that mean? I'm like, oh, it's 12 o'clock. He's saying he's hungry. Oh my God. And so now we can build his entire curriculum or whatever around that one sign.
Yes.
So that maybe it would then expand to different signs. But there's a stepping stone, like, yes.
Yeah.
So that those little ones that may not seem big to other people, to me, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's what I love. It keeps me going.
Yes, definitely. I have experience with that, because when I adopted babies with disabilities, they would say, oh, they have developmental delays. And I never understood that. How delayed could they be when they're 3 weeks old? You know, they're
right.
They're 3 weeks behind their peers. But then I realized all the things that you do miss when you have just a typical baby. You don't realize the first time they put their hands together at the midline of their body.
Right.
And that's a
crossing
huge
the midline.
Deal.
Yeah, yeah.
All those little bitty goals and successes that push them forward. And tell me about the challenges, the downsides of the job.
Oh, it's the bureaucracy. It's the government getting involved. It's the legalness. The IEPs are just so full of legalese that I feel like they don't even serve the child anymore. They're serving the lawyers.
I'm so sorry. I feel like I should apologize on behalf of all lawyers. But from the lawyer's side, as someone who has sued 67 school districts.
Oh, gosh.
We need those IEPs to be a certain
way. I know.
Are sometimes so general or so cookie cutter, like
right.
districts will have, oh, your child has Down syndrome, here's the IEP. They right. don't personalize them enough. So, right, yeah, right. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. Tell me what other ways my kind has made it so difficult.
Standardized testing. I don't like standardized testing even for a typically developing child.
Right.
But then you look at my kids, and like I mentioned, max, they're functioning around 6 months, and I'm supposed to standardize test them on a computer and ask them questions about gravity? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So that's what frustrates me the most.
Yeah. It's not the first time I've heard it. Could you tell our listeners about your religious biography? I didn't really get much of that in your bio, mm-hmm. and you feel like sharing.
My mom and I went to First Pres in San Mateo when I was growing up. My dad never joined us. It wasn't until later that I really realized, oh, that's because he's an atheist. But he was not the outspoken atheist. He just didn't go to church. It wasn't until about maybe 13, 14, 15 years old that I started to question what they were teaching us. A couple times we had visiting ministers, some hellfire and brimstone visitors, and alluded to the fact that if you lie to your parents, you're going to hell. And I'm just like, I lie to my parents like every day. I'm a teenager. And I think I'm a pretty good person in general. I don't think I believe this anymore. I'm not buying it. And so that kind of started my path to looking into not so much other religions, but lighter and lighter basis of belief. For a while, I was a deist, and I thought, there's got to be something out there, right? Something probably just snaps their fingers and sits back and eats their popcorn and sees what's going on, and then, yeah, maybe might do something to change the path just to see, just to watch. Like, had no real, like, not so much interest, but just didn't really do anything about the life that they were watching. And then I moved on from that thinking, no, that's ridiculous. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. And I was agnostic for a while because I think I wasn't really ready to give up that last fiber of connection to there is a God. Because it was intoned in us for so long that if you don't believe in God, when you die, you're not going to heaven. And eventually I got to the point where I'm like, if this God is going to send me to hell because I didn't believe in him, her, whoever, I don't think I want to be in heaven with this God that would do that to me. From there, it was a pretty easy step to atheism. And I think we are here, just random sets of evolution has brought us here. And when we die, assuming we're not embalmed, we feed the earth again to bring on new life, and that's it. That's the cycle.
So how did you get from there to the Unitarian Universalist Church?
Religion is important to Josh, a religious upbringing, and he really wants the kids to go. For a while, he was bringing them to his parents' Methodist church over in Castro Valley, and I was really uncomfortable with that. We would go over every Sunday to have lunch with them, and he would take them to church, and I would go for a run or go sit in Starbucks or whatever. And I had known about this church because we actually looked at this church when we were going to get married. There was one thing that stopped us from getting married here, and that was the parking.
That's so sad.
I know.
True, yeah, obviously, yeah. But oh, yeah.
So I knew it existed, and I thought, and a friend of mine was going here who told me about it, and she's also atheist, and she's like, there's very few sermons are God-centered. So I thought, okay, if he wants to take the kids to church, and he wants me to go, but I'm refusing to go to theirs, then I will come with you guys if you guys come here. That was about 2014, I think, that we started. Pretty much every week we've been coming, and
yes.
The kids have been involved mostly in the RE program.
Yeah. Allie's real involved in the RE program now.
Yes, she is. Yeah, it's great. Yes. Zachary wants nothing to do with it, so.
Of course.
Yeah.
He already knows all that stuff.
I know, yeah. Totally.
This was your first Unitarian Universalist
experience. I had never even heard the term before. I knew nothing about it other than my friend goes there and she assured me that it would be okay. And
does your friend still come?
No, they moved to, I believe, Washington.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. What roles have you had at UUSM?
I've subbed as a teacher for NRE, the different levels. I am on the RE committee right now, looking for a director. I'm on the leadership development committee, which is the group that looks at our members to see, maybe who can we get on the board next?
Ah, okay. Do you enjoy that work?
I like the RE for sure, because that program is important and it's interesting to be part of something that's finding a brand new person and being able to be in on that. The LDC can be a little frustrating because I think our numbers have dwindled. We have people on the board. There's not a whole lot of other people out there that want to, or we need to switch them out because they can only serve in that one position for so many years. That's what I find frustrating about that, is that it seems to be the same people, which is not a bad thing, but there's just not a lot of other fresh blood out there. That's what I would love to see, is fresh blood, fresh meat, younger people and their families coming here. So developing the RE program might get them in, and
yes,
then more of those people will join the board and committees.
I think so, yeah. Do you remember the first time that you felt like you belonged here?
You know what? When I read that question, I kind of struggled with it. I come in and people are like, hi, and come up and hug me. And I'm like, me? Why are they so excited to see me? And that's just kind of part of my personality. It's like, I'm not that important. So I guess maybe like on the days that does happen, and I kind of realize, oh, wow, they do like me here, you know? I can't say exactly when that happened. Probably when I got more involved in doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And people seem to appreciate my thoughts and my actions.
Sure.
But yeah, there's not like a pinpointed time.
Okay. All right, we're gonna wrap this up with some quick hitters. I'm gonna ask you some quick questions. You can give me short or long answers. What's the best flavor of ice cream?
Mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip.
Oreo.
Oreo.
Yeah, one of those two.
Okay. What's the best animal?
Manatee.
Manatee, tell me why.
I don't know when exactly started, but I love manatees. And I think when I started really loving them, I didn't even really know what they were. This is probably when I was, 10 or something.
Mm.
They are my animal, and I support them. I send to the Save the Manatee Club, and I even have manatee tattoos.
Wow, that's cool. That's very nice, very nice. So it's been a lifelong love. It wasn't a fad for a couple of years.
No,
it was,
not at all.
Yeah. Name 5 good things that happened to you this last week.
Okay, so I'm going to say last week starts on a Thursday.
Okay.
Number one was our last day of school was Thursday. We had Friday off. And about half the staff also took that Thursday off. So we were functioning on half staff. So functioning on a limited staff can be really difficult. But the good thing is that we all came together and we did it. And we got through that day. And it was good to see people like, okay, this is it. Let's do it.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. That Friday, then I got to spend the day with Allie, and that's always lovely. We watched a movie. It was a really weird one, but at least we were together. And then we got to go out to lunch. Yesterday, I got to go out to lunch with my mom and Zachary, so that was really nice.
Where did you go?
The restaurant wasn't great. We went to Flights in Burlingame.
Hmm.
Not impressed. Don't need to go back.
Okay.
But it was good to be there with my mom and Zachary. Then this today, this is cool. Just doing the podcast, when you asked me to, I had that kind of same feeling, like, me? She wants to hear from me? Why? But this is very cool, so that's definitely one. And that was for, I'm going to go get a manicure after this.
Oh, well, all right.
Yeah.
Man, you got a day. What is the most used app on your phone?
Facebook.
Facebook, okay. What do you like about Facebook?
The connection.
Yeah.
I've been in lots of online groups, baby wearing groups, and they're all there because, our kids are adults now. We're heading into adulthood, but now we're all in that one place together.
Yeah.
And still following each other.
What's the best advice you've ever given to someone?
I feel I am very good at soothing babies.
Uh-huh.
I really, really love the babies. And I've been called the baby whisperer before because I'm just really good at it. I've learned, like, Allie had severe colic, and so I've learned how to deal with colic. So advice that I give about raising infants, I think, is good.
What if I came to you and I said my baby just cries all the time and half of the crying time is just a scream, and what can I do? I've tried everything.
Are you breastfeeding or bottle feeding?
Breastfeeding.
I would ask questions about when are you feeding, what position is the baby in, is the baby gulping, do you have a really fast letdown? There's a lot of questions there that maybe it's gas because the baby's gulping too much. And here, rock the baby this way or put the baby on your arm on his or her tummy to help get that gas out and do the bicycles with the legs.
Yeah, I've given that kind of advice. And that hold, that particular hold is so important. And you figure out the dance that your baby likes. You
know,
is it back and forth?
Steel.
Is it, yeah. Is it up and down? Yeah, that's right. Oh, I love that. That's so great. What are you reading now?
I am reading The Firekeeper's Daughter. I forget the author's name. It's a woman. And it has to do with indigenous people in current day, I think maybe early 2000s current day, in the Michigan Upper Peninsula area. Mm-hmm. And I really just started it, so I'm not really sure what's going on, but there's a murder involved.
Yeah. What is the best thing to do on a Sunday afternoon?
Sit on the couch, wrapped in a blankie, read or watch TV and just be with or without the family. Josh is the one that wants to get out and do stuff, but I'm the homebody and I'm just comfortable to be all wrapped up. And
when you wrap up in a blankie on a Sunday afternoon and watch TV, what do you watch?
It really depends. If no one's there, I might just be watching, like, the Animal Planet of Dr. Paul.
Okay.
Love Dr. Paul. I can watch him just all day long. But sometimes we have stuff that we're watching together that we'll agree on.
Oh, good. What is the best movie of all time? Breakfast Club. All right. What do you put on a hot dog?
Not a huge hot dog fan, but if I were to have one, it would be probably the standard ketchup, mustard, and relish.
Ketchup and mustard.
Oh,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right. What smells better than anything else?
Fresh rain on the sidewalk.
You're right. I can smell that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. What's the best local charity?
The Peninsula Humane Society.
Mm. Have you done work with them?
Allie and I volunteered with them for a while with the kittens and the baby kittens, where we would go in for a shift and feed them, and they had shifts all day long. They're just so itty bitty and tiny and
helpless.
Helpless, yeah. Yes.
And what's the best religion?
Honestly, I'd say no religion. No, I just believe what you want to believe and believe it with those that want to believe it with you, but keep other people out of it. It's a personal choice.
All right. Thanks, Juliana. You made it through.
I made it.
I really appreciate you sitting down with me for this podcast. Oh, I'm so glad. And many thanks to our listeners. Keep making connections.